On today's episode of The Good Word with Goodwill, Jason Goff joins us to talk about the new generation of NBA players taking these old guys to school. We're also going to talk about Jason's Chicago Bulls and its tumultuous relationship with Zach LaVine. All that and a lot more on today's episode of The Good Word.
Good Word with Goodwill on Yahoo Sports. Ball don't lie. And here is Vince Goodwill.
Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, the senior NBA writer for Yahoo Sports. And we are part of the Ball Don't Lie Network. Get us wherever you get your podcasts. We are also on YouTube, where if you see that wonderful, wonderful face down there, bald head with the AKA paraphernalia behind me, that is Jason Goff. He is the pregame, postgame host for NBC Sports doing the Bulls games. He is also the host of the Full Go podcast on the Chicago sports scene and everything there. So before we even get to Bulls stuff, NBA stuff, y'all know that me and Jason like to have a good time. If y'all heard us the first time, it was during the playoffs. We had a lot of laughs and his fiance came in. That's where I got the idea for the Love Doctor. And Jason, I don't think you know this.
What's up?
I've had so many people unofficially text me or ask me, I want in to the Love Doctor episode, which was a gag. It was at first a gag because I don't want to be one of those relationship dudes because we got enough relationship podcasts already. But I feel like I'm going to have to do it because Jamel wants in.
Yeah.
You want in. David Dennis from ESPN wants in.
Right.
Like, we might have to actually do something here.
A Love Doctor roundtable. I'm down. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, we constantly talking about the same dudes, like the same 10 teams, the same injuries, the same trade possibilities. I want to know, you know, David Dennis's worst date. You feel me? I want to know how many people Jamel Hill has had to tell, hey, you just slide out of these DMs. I'm married. You know what I mean? Like, I want those things, right? I see Kerry Champion and Taylor Rooks chopping it up about regular people things. It's time for us to get insightful. You feel me? Like, there is no bounds, right? And every day in here, I'm having those kind of conversations. So I'm down, man. I put it on your I think it was your IG page. Yeah, it was your IG page. I need in. I wasn't joking with you. I send real things to you. I need in, partner. So let me know when you're ready.
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of inquiries, Jason. We've had a lot of inquiries.
I bet.
To such things, okay? Yeah. So, we're not gonna be talking about $200 dates or Cheesecake Factory. Oh, you know, we ain't gonna kick it like that. We gonna have some fun. We ain't gonna kick it on nothing stupid. Are you inviting Dr. Pia to the proceedings?
Well, that's a different fee. Okay, me and you are friends. You feel me? I will do anything for you. You know, I got to get her to come on my pod first, right? Okay. We got to clear a lot of things with Lifetime, a lot of things with Married at First Sight. You know what I mean? We got to make sure. But I'm sure she'd be happy to do so.
We got to clear with HR first. That's cool.
Yeah, exactly. Which is, you know, her. Pretty much, you got to clear with her. But she's down. She's down. She's a fan. You know, she knows what you mean to me and how we kick it every time you come into the city. So I'm sure she'd be down to do that.
Yes, it'll be fun. Let's just say this. And before I crack on Jason about his Bears being a disaster, the Bulls being a disaster.
Man.
The White Sox, are they relocating somewhere? You know what I mean? Like it's a lot of not so fun stuff going on. And it has nothing to do with me because allegedly I was the curse in Chicago that made everything bad. That was me.
Yeah.
I'm gone, baby. Y'all got to find a new scapegoat. Now, before we go there, because Jason, I was thinking about this for the past 3 or 4 days.
What's that?
It feels like we've been waiting for a long time for the young players to be handed the mantle in the NBA, right? Like LeBron old, Steph getting old, KD sneakily old. We've been waiting on somebody to go for those guys to hand it to them. And you know what I've discovered? Whether it's Chet or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or the Ant-Man, they snatching it from these old dudes.
Yeah.
They are here. We are here. It feels like we are at an inflection point, a transition point for the NBA? Do you feel the same way? Taking the Chicago hat off, because y'all are kind of in NBA purgatory right now.
Yeah, but just league-wide, sure,
does it just feel like we're in a new stage?
Yeah, I can't throw Kobe White or a Patrick Williams into this conversation. So
I'm still waiting on Patrick Williams.
Hey, man. I think we're all looking at that timer like, all right, let's put another 30 minutes on it real quick. It ain't done yet. It ain't done. Put another 30 on it. Now, I had this conversation with Young Wayne. Well, shout out to my man Wayne. Does a lot of hosting on the Nike events, Nike Circuit. He's a 2K character now.
His
rate is through the roof. He and I at an open gym, I believe in 2018, had a knockdown, drag out fight about what the league was going to look like when LeBron left. And I was arguing that there's going to be like a chasm of time where you're going to look around and be like, all right, who's the face? All right, what's the face? What's the next person? What's the next group? What's the next team? You know, when Mike set it down and all of a sudden it became, who wants it? Right? Is it Allen Iverson's league? Is it Kobe Bryant's league? Is it Tracy McGrady's league? Is it Vince Carter's league? There was a good 3 or 4 year period there where we were all trying to figure it out. And it wasn't because the young players weren't trying to take it from the old heads, like, because that's generational, right? I mean, we saw it, you know, Team USA, Dream Team, right? When Mike is doing crazy things and Magic and Larry got to look at each other like, all right, it's time now, y'all. Like, this is it. You know, we can have our fun out here in Barcelona, but when we get back to the crib, this man is about to go on a historic run. He already got one in his back pocket, right? Who is that guy now? You talk about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander throwing out the social media post with him cooking Steph Curry. You talk about Chet Holmgren.
The respect. At people. The lack of respect.
No respect.
I love it.
And you know, the basketball is so crazy now because ain't nobody going to punch you in the face. Right? Like, nobody's really going to do it. If anything, they're going to put you in a rear naked chokehold, right, for a couple seconds. But nobody's going to punch you in the face. Like, I remember back in the day with these old cats who couldn't move around, you know, bad knees, bad technology, bad surgeries. They still had hands. And they were going to make sure that you understood you just can't come take the league, young fella. Not anymore. Anthony Edwards is looking at Draymond Green like, you ain't built like that. Because he know ain't nobody going to find out. Right? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, there's a new tool with social media, and if you get the highlight kids on your team, then you are golden, right? Chet Holmgren, first real year in the league playing, says, you know what? If you need 30 shots to get 30 points, you ain't a real scorer in my eyes. Like, there's like 10 dudes he's talking to that do that on a nightly basis. So I'm not mad at it at all, especially with what we haven't seen because of off the court stuff and injury from John Morant and Zion Williamson and some of these other guys. Maybe, just maybe, you know, sports kind of, you know, I love basketball because it's the greatest reality show, but it's also the greatest truth telling sport of the major four. Coaches ain't got to lie to you. Players don't have to lie. So when they do lie, they look crazy. Organizations outright tell you, we ain't winning this year. Right? They don't play these games that football has to play, baseball has to play, and hockey, you know, if a puck drops in the woods and nobody's around to hear it, you know, did it really happen, right? So we out here just watching these dudes buck up and without anybody pushing them down. And on top of it, like, the Houston Rockets. Like, I sit back every time I come home from one of these Bulls games, hey, the Rockets on? I'm trying to watch. I'm trying to watch Tari Eason. I'm trying to watch the Big Flamingo and Alperen Şengün. I'm trying to watch Jalen Green. I'm trying to watch Jeff Green mentor these dudes. I'm trying to watch Dylan Brooks and Fred VanVleet. So there's a bunch of young teams and young dudes who aren't going to get that pushback, frankly, because I think the new generation of fans who've been sitting in the cut and us old heads who watch these games, they sitting there consuming the highlights and consuming the brands a totally different way. So that gives them the impetus and the confidence to step up and go at 3 or 4-time world champions with no punitive damage at all, because the league is searching. You know, we talk about Embiid, Jokic, and Giannis like they still 24 years old. We got to find who the next dudes are, and I think that's happening with this crew.
Well, first off, Denver ain't going nowhere. Like,
for sure.
Because Jokic has figured out, I'm better than all of you dudes, and you guys have nothing for me. The fact that Anthony Davis, generational player, can play his best basketball and not get a game off of Jokic.
Yeah.
It is that fat man's league. All right, cool. All right.
No. But before we push on from that, though, because we were just talking about something before we started recording. Jokic ain't going to get hurt, right? Because he don't do the get hurt stuff, right? But would you be surprised if Jokic get two or three or more of these things in the next 5 years and say, all right, I'm cool? Like, as much as he dislikes the entire NBA thing outside of the basketball and his teammates and winning, you know, as much as he likes being at the crib and hanging out with the horses, and you saw the joy in that man's face when his horses was winning over there, like when he got a chance to go hang out with his horses, I wouldn't be surprised if Nikola Jokic looked around after becoming a three-time NBA world champion, maybe a three or four-time NBA MVP, and said, guess what, y'all? Peace. Thank you so much.
I tend to disagree with you because I don't know Nikola Jokic from a hole in the wall.
Right.
I think he goes out of his way to pretend like he doesn't care.
Okay.
And not to go love doctor, but when you go out of your way to pretend that you don't give a damn, it means you care way more than you're willing to admit. You just don't want to show it. You don't want to give the people the satisfaction. You don't want to feed the machine. But it does not mean that you don't care or that you don't like the taste of blood. And I think if he gets a couple more MVPs and that puts him at four, you get a couple more rings that puts you at two or three, and you start talking about where does he fit with Kareem and Hakeem and Shaq.
Do you think that matters to him? Okay.
I think it could. It may not matter, not because it's so far off in the ether, but I think it could matter. But I just think the game itself means more than he's willing to admit because he does not want to give us the satisfaction. I don't think that man just playing for the money. Put it like that. I don't think he just playing so he can just send it back to Serbia and homeland and all that. No. You can't be that good at this level and not care. You can't be. You can't be generationally great and be half-ass doing this. And you can't half-ass doing this. Unless you know what I mean? You can't half-ass doing this. That's just me.
I could be wrong. You're not wrong, obviously, because you've interacted with the people around that team and, you know, NBA types a lot more than I have when it comes to them. I just, you know, there are certain dudes who I feel like go somewhere to do something, do it, and pull up. And those kinds of spirits, I wouldn't be surprised if Nikola Jokic is that dude. Also, you know, I think he's a more fierce competitor than we give credit for, right? Because he doesn't do the gesticulation and the screaming all the time and all that other stuff. Like, you know, he could have everything that Kevin Garnett has in him. He just harnesses it in a different way, in a different manner. But yeah, man, this new wave of players, I am very enthused about because, you know, even the guys who we deem young aren't young anymore. Like, you know, Devin Booker is going on year nine, right? This is year nine or 10 for him. So it's like these dudes who've played a lot of basketball, who we've seen growing up, I'm happy to see the separators too. Like, I'm happy to see the dudes who are like, okay, y'all thought I was this, and it was cool to be this, but now it's time for me to be this, right? Like, I like to call it that LeBron pressure. You know, Steph Curry had to go through it as well, where it's like, oh, this is cool. This is cute. And then we started talking about the ankles. And then we started talking about, you know, the qualifying offer and all those things. And then he had to turn it on because that LeBron pressure of, all right, what time now? Well, it's 5-6 years. If you were great, let's do it. And he answered that bell. Like, I'm interested, like you mentioned, the Shai Gilgeous-Alexanders of the world, dudes like that, the Luka Doncic's of the world, where it's like, all right. All right, it's that LeBron time. You know, you're going to get that same smoke. I mean, Dame Lillard for years was in Portland and was like, I'm an all-star. Nobody was listening to him. And before you knew it, that LeBron time started to tick on that clock and it started to feel a lot different with the cute Blazers and Dame time and all that. And next thing you know, you probably overstay your welcome a year or two and now you got to figure it out in another city. So I appreciate the clock that has been accelerated because the league needs new faces and the marketing aspect has kind of been put in it's been like privatized. Like, these players are doing it on their own now.
Yes,
like,
yes,
David
yes.
Stern is looking down like, yo, I didn't know that I wouldn't have to spend all this marketing money or this league wouldn't have to spend all this marketing money because these dudes have their own brands now.
Well, the problem is, the big problem is Nike's no longer doing the marketing for the NBA for them. So we don't understand like the myth making. We don't see the myth making as much as we used to. And And it's funny because I'm going to say something, and Jason Goff is a Chicagoan, and I feel like it's the perfect person to say this to, or the craziest person to say this to, because we're going to start off with the Minnesota Timberwolves, right?
Let's get it.
The Timberwolves of Rudy Gobert and Karl Towns, right? I say that as I can't believe they're at the top of the Western Conference. But they have a young man named Anthony Edwards, right?
Yeah, they do. Uh-oh.
A country kid that's an extreme athlete that nobody saw coming, even though he was the number one pick in the draft. And they said, well, you don't know if he's competitive enough. All right, yeah, you sound real stupid there, okay?
Yeah. So he doesn't like basketball enough. All right, cool.
He doesn't like basketball enough.
He's just dope at it.
He's just really, really good at it. And I thought about this, and I'm going to say this out loud, because we've been looking for so long for the next Michael Jordan, right, that we stopped saying it. We just stopped. We applied it to so many different guys, and
right,
it never fit. Even with Kobe, it didn't fit. You know what I mean? He's like Diet Mike. You know what I mean? Not quite Cherry Coke, like Diet Mike, okay? Anthony Edwards profiles Michael Jordan. The athleticism,
yeah,
the sort of homegrown, hometown charisma, like an understated charisma. Yeah. But man, does he like the taste of blood? And he was willing to let, hey, Karl Towns, this is your team. Yeah, you can have it. When I figure out this thing, all y'all gonna move aside. That sound like Jordan with the Cocaine Cowboys. You know what I mean? That sound like Michael Jordan with those dudes in his first couple years.
Yeah.
We just don't allow ourselves to say it. So I think the Ant-Man is like the guy. We just don't realize it because he's playing in Minnesota and he's rep by Adidas and not
even
Nike.
In this moment, you tiptoeing up to it. Like say it. Hey, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, and Minnesota Timberwolves fans, Vinny just called Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert Orlando Woolridge and Quentin Daly. I just want to let y'all know that right now. Okay, so find out who Reggie Theus is on that team. Find out who the Jeff Sanders is, okay? Because Vinny has outlined for you the foibles and the things that will hold Anthony Edwards back for the first half a decade of his career. Now, I'm with it, man. The moment that Anthony Edwards started to bubble up at Georgia, I was calling down at Athens. You know, I spent a couple of years in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I was calling down at Athens like, yo, so what's the deal here? Like, tell me what's good, right? Like, I watched this stuff. And if you go back and watch some of those Georgia games, Anthony Edwards is out. That was just rec league with organization. That was like, all right, who am I playing with? All right, we cool. I'm going to go just run through the SEC, dunking on everybody, shooting every tough shot. Like, he was doing NBA things on a college court
that
made people question, like, all right, does he have the shot selection or does he have the mentality? And it's like, this dude is just out here competing at the level that everybody else is. And then when he's done with the kids, he's going to turn up. I love Anthony Edwards in a way that, you know, we've seen him make some mistakes, right? We've seen him make some mistakes, own up to those mistakes, and then us understanding that there's a growth pattern that needs to happen. There's a trajectory that needs to happen. And now he's on the runway, bro. And I'll say this, it doesn't hurt, because I'm not going to continue or progress the analogy, but Jaden McDaniels, to me, is the best perimeter defender in the league. And I was saying that at the end of last year. And it doesn't hurt when you got a dude next to you who is as confident about defense as Anthony Edwards is. Like, we got a lot of guys who stop people, and it's like, you know, it's a relief, or just put that guy on there. And then we got the dudes who talk crazy that lock people up. And then you see, and then you start watching a little bit closer, you're like, this dude really gets cooked a lot. But, you know, it's all the mannerisms, and it's all the flailing. You know what I mean? We put that on people like, he's an amazing defender. Anthony Edwards, if you've been watching what he did against Boston and Jason Tatum was a week ago now, he's been doing that for like a season and a half now, where it's like, all right, let me just take this 2-minute stretch and, you know, impose my will on the game. And the Karl Anthony Towns stuff is real too. Like understanding that that torch may not have been passed, but just understood that it was given or taken. Yeah, Anthony Edwards is as fun a player. I love the Adidas campaign, right? Mm-hmm. I love what they're doing with that. He's athletic. He can make shots from anywhere. He's a three-level scorer. I love the fact that his post game is what it is, as young as he is.
Yes.
I worry that there will be that Vince Carter, like, okay, I'm going to be out here for 8 or 9, 10 of these. I'm not going back into that lane because y'all were trying to knock me out the air. But if Minnesota can understand that all he needs is a – and it's all, you know, I shouldn't say all, but like a Chauncey Billups type of point guard to make sure that everybody else understand who getting the ball and when they getting the ball. You know, keep a defender like Jaden next to him. You know, keep a rim protector who can rim run a little bit. You've got the makings of a top five player, and no doubt top five player in this league. And as long as he, you know, is on the straight and narrow, man, which I think he will be. You know, he's got that vibrant nature that basketball fans need to see, right? There's certain players who we don't get a chance to see enough because of where they play, or they may not be on good enough teams.
Right.
I was thinking about it this morning before I, you know, jumped on with you. Like we all remember those teams that weren't gonna win nothing, but we love watching them play.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we need to get back to that, because if you can get on the ground level with Minnesota right now with that, and probably last year was the ground level, then you're going to see something special. Like Anthony Edwards is that dude, and he should be that dude for a long time.
Yeah, the league should have, like, I know the league is going to be hesitant about crowning a young player because Ja Morant likes to go putting his Harlem night guns out in the air. You know what I mean? Zion Williamson clearly likes dressing up in Burberry shirts. And other activities, right? Yeah. So you want to be very careful about who you give the crown to, especially while these old guys are still in the league and still bankable, and you can still put them on billboards, right? But the Ant-Man feels like he's somebody that you can wrap your arms around, that he will take this seriously, that he won't embarrass the league or himself, and he's got the game and he's got the desire to sort of say, hey, you know, I'm better than these old dudes. Like you said, the Jason Tatum thing. There's a difference in athleticism between he and Jason Tatum, right? And then he does it to the Warriors in their building against Draymond Green. After Draymond was talking trash to him, he goes and puts 10 straight on you and says, okay, I'm gonna put some distance between us and you because we ain't the same. Like, I love that, which speaks to my next contestant here.
All right.
On the Price is Right. All right. The Oklahoma City Thunder, a team that I saw last week when I went to Skinny Bowl in Oklahoma City.
Man.
And you got Shea, who put Steph on a poster, right? On a GIF. He didn't put him on a poster, he put him on a GIF, right? And then you got Chet, who, this is the only comparison I could make, Jason, because I don't know if you saw this highlight on Saturday night. Steph drives down the lane and he tries to use like the rim as like a screen, and Chet blocks the shot out of bounds, just swats it like real easy, like candy from a fifth grader. Steph laughs, right? But it's one of those laughs that I saw once before in my life, when I saw Tommy Hearns laugh while turning his back to Marvin Hagler. And then next thing you know, the fight was over like 3 seconds later because Marvin Hagler was putting the beats on him. And it wasn't the same exact thing, but it was just that, oh, I'm in trouble laugh. Yeah. No, yeah. Steph, you're not in trouble. The league's in trouble because Oklahoma City has two of those dudes. Yeah. And they did it in 2 years.
Yeah. Nah, it's amazing to watch young players who ain't going to get it maybe for a couple of years be that impactful. Right. And as you mentioned, the Steph, like, what am I going to do with this? You know what I mean? Like, if I can't get shielded on a reverse layup with the rim being the shield, then what are we really talking about here? Chet played against the Bulls and I watched him
opening night.
I watched him size up the game for a good quarter and a half. Right. He was present. You could tell his presence was out there. He's never going to shrink into the court. right? He's always going to affect the game some way, somehow. And then he started hitting shots for a good 3 or 4 possession run. And I said to myself, this is the future of basketball. You know, you got V-Dub in San Antonio. You got this man. Like, we've long
talked. We call him Big Slim here. We call Victor Big Slim.
Big Slim okay.
is the official name okay. of Victor Wembanyama on the Good Word podcast. Okay?
Got you. Big Slim doing his thing down there. Like, I remember seeing, and this is a name that, you know, it's a blast from the past for some heavy, heavy, deep cuts for basketball fans. Remember DeMar Johnson? I remember the first time I saw DeMar Johnson, and I'm like, damn, they got 6'10 like combo guards. They got 6'10 shooting guards out here. And watching him, I was Cincinnati, I believe,
yeah,
DeMar
Cincinnati.
Went to.
Yep.
And I'm like, all right, this is interesting, right? Because the dudes ain't supposed to be doing this, right? And then, of course, you get Tony here with the Bulls and 6'11 playing a small four. You've got 7'1 anythings. Because Chet Holmgren ain't no center. He ain't a power forward. He ain't a small forward. He's a 7'1 anything. And for as much as you think you're going to take advantage of him on the perimeter defensively, his length allows for him to make up so much room and steps that you may miss. Like the stuff that we see Big Slim doing when he's beaten. And just, all right, little tip. You know, it don't have to – all that emphatic slapping it into the 17th row, that's fine. But guess what? Y'all going to have to reset this possession. Now you got 7 seconds left, and I'm still 7'1", still 7'4", still 7'5", whatever it is. And I'm going to affect everything defensively. And if you got shot making, like Chet Holmgren is going to mess around and shoot 50, 40, 90, what, maybe twice in the first 5 seasons that he gets officially? Like that, he's that good a shooter? And Josh Giddey.
Like
when you need a hit ahead, multiple versatile ball handler, a dude who's just gonna mess around and get you 8 rebounds and 8 assists just because he felt like it. Yeah, Sam Presti knew what the hell he's doing, and he also knows because of how punitive the new CBA is. You're not gonna be able to keep everybody, so mm-hmm. you're gonna rotate those picks. You're gonna sell off one of these pieces that you like but don't love to the highest bidder. Find yourself that veteran presence, and next thing you know, we're going to be watching the Thunder mess around playing in the Western Conference Finals against the Nuggets or playing in the Western Conference Finals against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, this is how it's supposed to be. This is how the maturation and the evolution of these teams is supposed to go. Like, if you were to put a blueprint out of, okay, rebuild, because everybody want to rebuild until it's time to watch 82 games of bad basketball.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it's supposed to look. This is supposed to be the payoff for all that sucker shit that everybody involves themselves in when it comes to, hey, let's just lose every single game. All right, so now you're teaching 20-year-olds how to lose. Chet Holmgren's yep. coming in yep. with, hey, we think we're supposed to win. So you do that development off the court. You do that development in practice. And when you get on this court, it's me going at the champs, right? If I'm Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, hey, you ride or not? Josh Giddey is riding, so you got to ride too. And then you create riders that way instead of dudes who just learning how to lose.
Yeah, this ain't the process. And not just Josh Giddey, who has a lot of, if you squint, a lot of Lonzo Ball in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then you got Jalen Williams, who took advantage of all these extra minutes and extra opportunities extra shots last year. And Jason, the Oklahoma City Thunder have had 2 losing seasons. They processed to 2 losing seasons and then was back in the playoffs when we thought they're going to be losing forever. No, they're here, and I think they're going to be a top 6 team in the West, and I think they're going to be knocking out one of these establishments. They're going to be out the Clippers or the Lakers or Golden State or Phoenix. Mind you, all places that I want to hang out in April and May, okay?
Oklahoma City ain't got nothing for you, and ain't no steakhouses, ain't nothing you could drop into?
I think they do have a good steakhouse, if I remember correctly. I think they do have a good
steakhouse. Got to hit up Stacey King, man. He the only person I know from Oklahoma, especially the only brother that I know from Oklahoma. Yeah,
but here's the thing, man. Ain't no direct flights. You spend all day flying.
No. I've never been. I live enough in the middle America part of middle America that I feel like I could just talk to somebody from the Quad Cities in Iowa and feel like I got a taste of everything in the middle of America.
Yeah, well, funny side story, because you will love this. You will love this. My former employer, John Gennaro is probably like, oh my God, where's Benny going?
Uh-oh.
Look, my former employer, we went on this bus tour where we took like a literal bus from Chicago to somewhere in Iowa because they were trying to sell NBC Sports Chicago to these outside, mm-hmm. you know, places. So you're somewhere mm-hmm. in Iowa and Nebraska. Baby, when I tell you, I felt so alone in a room full of people. I didn't feel threatened or in danger. I just felt so alone. I'm like, what am I doing here? Right?
What should I bring up? What can I do to make sure that a conversation that will be inclusive and fun happens at some point here?
No, here's the top. The topper was this. And John might completely X this out. That's why I put a pregnant pause there.
This is a good one. This is a good one.
They had an ice cream place that we went to at the end of the tour. You want to know the name of the ice cream place, Jason?
Can I guess it?
Yes, please. Go ahead and guess it.
Blackie's.
Flip it. Flip it. Just flip it. Just flip
Whitey's.
It, Jason.
Yeah, let's go. You went to go have a scoop at Whitey's, didn't you? Have you ever talked to an old gentleman named Whitey before? Have you ever had to have a conversation with a man named Whitey? I have. It was the most fun thing I've done in maybe my life. Just looking at an older man saying, "Hey, Whitey, tell me more about yourself." You have it? Oh, dog. Dog, I would go there to get a scoop even if I was lactose intolerant. I would go there every day. Hey. What's happening, Whitey's? How y'all feeling? Everything good?
It felt like a Chappelle skit and a vignette from Get Out at the same time. I tell you, I climbed back on that bus. I held onto that duffel bag with deer for dear life.
Yeah. Hey, man, you good? You good at Whitey's?
I made
you know what
it.
I'm saying?
I
just make sure
it.
You order the right thing. You good.
Yeah, let me get a double scoop of chocolate.
No, you better. Hey, no. Don't you play around. We got one flavor here at Whitey's. You know what it is.
I felt like, wait, it was one of those things where I'm like, does anybody else see this or is this just me?
They all see it. What you mean? They were waiting for you. You was the guest of honor, huh? You should have got a free scoop if that was the case. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Oklahoma. Whew. Little reset.
Yeah, that was a story time vignette with Vinny. We might have to like borrow from Bomani and like play the music right, or something right, like that right. for that.
Or
one
just
real quick.
Just have like a Love Doctor drop. Just have somebody saying Love Doctor. Yes, you know what I mean?
The Love Doctor will be back after these messages. That's what we're gonna do. So Jay, you so damn silly. So we got the Rockets. Which means we do not know how to talk about Ime Udoka. I don't, to be perfectly honest, I don't know how to talk about Ime Udoka outside of saying, hey, he's making a profound effect on a team that looked completely unserious last year, and it could be much more than Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks. Although not excluding them, it has to be a little bit more than them, right?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Like, it's basketball, man. Like, how long have we been watching basketball and basketball coaches who have been very, very good, who have, you know, had some things, had some issues. And this is the wild part, because you and I have been around this thing for a little bit. You know, I go back to knowing the names of the coaches who could only spend 2, 3, 4 years at certain cities before they had to go somewhere else. And you'd be like, wait a minute, that man just won 51 games. Why is he on the move again? You know what I mean? Like,
never mind. I'm not even going to bring up his name.
Hey, there are a bunch of dudes who have been running around the league in different capacities who keep themselves inside the NBA family that we know are good coaches, where you're like, why was that stay so long? Seems so successful. You know, that's what Ime Udoka is establishing, right? The Boston Celtics knew what they had. That's why they were so tight about having to do what they had to do and the situation that it presented itself. Now he's in Houston with a group that hasn't won. And that's the best group to get if you know that you're a good coach. Yeah, you ain't won nothing. And the reason why I'm here is because you ain't won nothing. So who are you going to listen to? right? You look at Monty Williams in Detroit. Like, you're closer to the situation than I am.
Baby.
Ain't no way in hell Jaden Ivey should be behind Killian Hayes. But guess what you ain't going to do? You're not going to learn how to not play right under me. Yeah, I'm here because y'all didn't do what y'all was supposed to do with the last coach, right? So, and we talk about that on the set all the time when we see Detroit. Like, how is the fifth pick in the draft behind, you know, arguably one of the worst starters in the game?
When losing gets in your building. That's the one thing I always tell people about losing, not losing teams, but everybody rushing to press the reset button. Oh, let's get rid of these old guys. They're not good enough. Da-da-da-da-da. You're saying, okay, let's go to lose. When losing gets in your building, it's like asbestos. It's like mold.
Yeah,
you can't get it out. You're going to have to tear down the whole house. And not losing in your building with the old guys. I mean losing in your building with the young guys. Because it's hard to get that selfishness out of the building. It's hard to get that get mine mentality out of the building. It's hard to get that we ain't winning this game because we ain't good enough mentality out of your building. And that starts at the top and it goes all the way to the youngest player that walks in. So it's so hard. And for Ime Udoka in Houston to look in there and say, all right, we're going to change the culture here. Now, Ime Udoka in Houston.
Well,
very curious to see how long that lasts because
why wouldn't it last now though? You know?
Why
wouldn't it last now?
You can just do what you do, just don't do it there.
Yeah. Yeah. You would hope that all parties involved have learned from this thing. And back to your point about what losing does, you know, you see a lot of these teams have to sign these young players because they haven't exactly proving themselves, but general managers and architects know that if I keep getting rid of these young dudes, they're going to look at me like, what's going on? So what happens is you get a team where you've got maybe a couple of veterans who don't do things the way they're supposed to. You got impressionable kids, and all of a sudden those kids turn into your young vets that you've already paid, and they start to mimic and mirror what they've seen. Right. So it's an ecosystem that you just don't want to be a part of because it's so hard. And then what you do is you drop a truth teller into a locker room and then you find out, oh, I was right the whole time about this squad. Now I got to blow it up. And by that time, you've got depreciating assets. It's a nasty cycle that goes on in the NBA with a lot of teams who are treading water and don't know that they're not swimming, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of, and this is, it's funny, Jason, you must have read the rundown. Must have read the rundown because this is where we're going next.
Yeah.
The teams that I'm going to ask you that are treading water. I'm not saying they're treading water, but they have visions of grandeur, right? And with these younger teams taking the place, right? It's the circle of life. You know, somebody's looking over Pride Rock and somebody's being looked over on Pride Rock, right?
Right.
We got the Lakers. We got the Suns. We got the Warriors. We got the Clippers. Which team concerns you the most?
I don't have any concern about the Clippers because I don't have any expectations for it.
Makes sense.
You know, yeah, I get concerned with things that I have expectations for that ain't going to make me look good, right? Like my son and my family, you feel me? Like, I'm looking at the Lakers and the Suns. One, the Lakers thing, like, we're getting this this influx of, hey, man, look how cold LeBron is stats again. You know, like, the you know, look, hey, man, it's year 21, true shooting percentage, this, that, and the other. And I'm like, hey, y'all. You're like, he's gone on three-week runs like this before and then been dead in the water because of how much he's had to push his body. Like, the equation is still the equation. If Anthony Davis ain't the dude, then you dead in the water with that Lakers squad. I don't care what you put around them. I mean, hell, the league then passed around the Austin Reeves tape and was like, hey, good luck, you know? D'Angelo Russell, you benched him for a whole playoffs. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, hey, here go 82 games again. Here go your proving ground. Like, that Lakers thing... To rely, and I hate that I'm going to say this, but to rely on that old man as much as they are relying on him is bonkers, man. Like, him being Superman, after a while, like, we don't watch Superman movies anymore. When the last time Superman came out and y'all was racing to the movie theaters? Like, I can't wait to see this one. I can't wait to see what Jim Caviezel is doing in this one. It's been a while for me. I'm not going to lie about it. And then... Oh, man, the Suns, man. You know, Same.
You want good things for them.
You know, I don't know if I want good things for them. I just want to see it.
Yeah, that's
what
it is.
I just want to see it. All right? Like, there's certain things the basketball gods haven't given me over the course of my fandom, right? The biggest gripe that I got with the basketball gods is the LeBron Kobe thing never happening in the finals for as long as those two guys.
Blame Dwight Howard for that one.
Well, we could blame Dwight for a lot of things, okay? We could blame Dwight for a lot of things. You know, we could play the Love Doctor, you know, cut right there or the drop right there. You know, we'd be back after these messages. But nah, man, the Suns thing, ever since the Achilles injury to KD, you know, slowly but surely, that body has been given out. And we look at year 16 through 20 like it's just given these days because LeBron and Dirk and some of these other dudes. Nah, it's not given. It's a tough, tough game to play for a decade and a half in against premium competition. Now you see Devin Booker, you know, getting the bumps and bruises. Mm-hmm. Bradley Beal has been playing in Washington in anonymity for the last decade. And you go back and look at the usage, you shouldn't be surprised that this dude has back problems. So, you know, there are certain things that you hope would come to fruition when it comes to these stars, right? And these dudes being all on one team. But man, if I was ranking it Lakers, Suns, Clippers in terms of worry, I got no worry about the Clippers because that thing ain't getting off the ground. The Lakers thing, I know because of the force that LeBron is, he gonna force that thing into the play-in or the playoff situation, and we gonna have to deal with that. But the Suns thing is like, hey, y'all, there's a couple of y'all that are young enough to give me what I need as a basketball fan, and you're hoping for it. Like, watching 2 7-footers run the pick and roll is beautiful to me. You got Yusuf Nurkic and Kevin Durant running pick and roll. Like, I want to see more of that. So I want to see the Suns thing get the full, you know, assembly of talent together. And the Lakers thing, I'm as big a LeBron fan as you'll find, but it, you know, we out here listening to Curtis Blow's greatest hits now. Like, we out here listening to a different song, man. That's all.
It looked the same. The numbers look the same, but you know, it ain't the same. Nah. That's all it is. And we don't have to talk about 38-year-old CP, 35 going on 36-year-old Steph. Man. Clay looking done. Draymond Green auditioning for, you know,
NBA on TNT.
No, he's auditioning for the reiteration of Baby Boy. He's with Melvin. He's with Melvin and Baby Boy. Okay, that's what he's Lil Jody. That's what he's operating.
I heard your thoughts on that, but like, Draymond don't get points for that, man. You don't get points for
did I
for,
give him
for,
points?
Not you. But I'm just talking about period. Just the overall conversation, like. Too many people was like, you know, laughing and it was semi-funny, but too many people was doing
it's
it
funny
like, ah.
Because it was Rudy Gobert.
But that's the thing. You don't get points for picking on the kid at school that eat paste. You feel me? Like, you know, we banned dodgeball in this country because kids like Rudy Gobert was getting hit in the face too much with, you know, and walking home with Voight across their forehead. You feel me? Like, you don't get the applause for, you know, knocking the sonic rings out of somebody who, you know, is sitting around sniffing glue all day long. Like, those kids we would try to help out. You know, so I'm not going to sit here and laugh with y'all about the Draymond Green thing. That shit was absurd. It was absurd.
You said Sonic Rings?
Yeah. That man choked the Sonic Rings out of Rudy. All of a sudden is leading every sports cast. Like, what are we doing out here? Because
we don't see fights in the NBA anymore.
That wasn't a fight. That's what I'm saying.
But that was a casual mugging.
Exactly.
because we don't see physical contact in the NBA anymore. And the brawl, the Malice at the Palace, was nearly 19 years ago
yesterday. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Funny. I'll tell people a funny story on that on a later episode of The Good Word. But all right. But yeah, we don't see fights anymore. We get a little taste of it.
Yeah, a little taste of that blood.
Yeah, we get a little taste of it. We want to do something with it. But so, of course, Jason, we have to transition from the laughs.
Oh man,
to the tears of a clown.
Oh man,
your Chicago Bulls.
Oh man,
I'm gonna have John put a Chicago Bulls like drop in there because we need everybody to know that we are talking about your Chicago Bulls, Jason.
Oh
no Lonzo Ball this year, and I don't know what the front office did in trying to replace him, but they did not. Zach LaVine wants out. You beat the Miami Heat Saturday night on the second night of a back-to-back. It looked good. Zach wanted no parts of a post-game interview
on the court.
On the court, which would be broadcast basically to the crowd for the people who don't know, who have not spent time there. Yeah. That one would not be on TV. That one would be transmitted over the Jumbotron. I heard your thoughts, and I'm sure you're going to tell everybody your thoughts, but I'll give you mine first. I think if a player has asked for a trade, or everybody knows that there's this murky area, you can't ask him to talk to the people over the Jumbotron. That probably would not have played well in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't mean that how everything transpired should have transpired.
You're right. Yeah.
But you can't ask him. Like, it's got to be somebody above all of that to ensure that those two people, like if Zach, if for those who haven't seen the video, PR person for the Bulls, Beth Elster, she tried to get Zach, and Zach kind of brushed her off and walked to the locker room. And then he said, hey, we got to see these guys in the future. I just want to, you know, celebrate with the guys in the locker room and everything else. That was his official on the record, you know, response for that.
While the guys were celebrating on the court, by the way. Well, while the guys were celebrating on the court, I want to go celebrate with them in the locker room because I don't want the Miami Heat to see me celebrating with them.
You think it's because he wants to go to Miami. I think
you leave it up to
interpretation,
the discernment of fans and media types alike when you put on this black hat, right? You know, this trade request has not trade request, but him being open to a trade. I want to make sure I term this correctly.
Right.
Is put Zach in a position that I don't think he, frankly, was prepared for.
Yep.
Especially this early. You know, December 15th, December 16th is a long ways away in terms of when players who signed this offseason can officially be traded. So, you know, going through this for 3 weeks, you know, you talk about rebuilds with fans and how everybody scream rebuild and love to talk it, and then you watch 82 to 164 games of bad basketball.
The Bulls been rebuilding since 1999.
Man, they've been rebuilding since the young man from Englewood's knee popped on him. And they've been trying to figure it out ever since. They've been rebuilding since they traded Jimmy Butler. They've been rebuilding before that, when they did the three alphas thing with Rajon Rondo, Jimmy, and Dwayne Wade.
Remember, I told you they should not don't trade Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Remember I said that, and yeah. And people said that I was crazy.
Yeah, well, you are crazy, but you weren't on that one. You weren't on that one. Yeah. I don't think Zach, you know, just the kind of dude he is, I don't think he is ready.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, and he's an uber confident guy.
Yes.
So when you're uber confident and slowly but surely that starts to be chipped away at, because confidence comes with belief in yourself, but also backing and belief from the people around you, right? Like Zach has seen some dark days with this franchise, the Jim Boylan era, and you know him.
And he's been a good soul, and he's been a good soldier throughout all of that.
Zach's been a pro. Zach's gone and worked his ass off every single summer, right? Zach's come back and refined his game to the point where we were talking about him as being one of the more efficient scorers 2 years running in the NBA. Like, what Zach has become as a player exceeded what my expectations were for him when I first saw him in Minnesota and when I first started to talk to people who were around him who believed in him. Like, you know my ties to Sam Mitchell, and Sam had him in Minnesota, and Sam used to talk to me about what he could be and what he was getting ready to be. And I was like, all right, we'll see. You know, I'm looking forward to it. And he's become a lot of that. But there's still some of the things late game-wise, decision-making, where, you know, there's going to be one of those moments where like, ah, Zach, what's that? What's that? You know what
right,
I mean?
Right,
like,
right.
And you don't look at it as what the hell? But now, when you put on the black hat, the, oh man, what's that becomes the, what the hell? And for the next 3 weeks, you put yourself in a box of having to play perfect basketball, which no one can do. And then the optics of, you know, because he and Beth have a good relationship. Beth, right. You know, she, like I said on my pod, she's like the den mom, right? She's like the big sister for a bunch of dudes running around out there who need to be corralled.
And Beth is no willowing flower for those. Beth is, as she told me, she's Chicago tough.
Yeah, stare down queen. Stare down queen. Like, don't you get it twisted. Shout out to Beth Esley. I don't want no problems. She is on my Dark Alley team. You feel me? So, you know, and I'm there with you on maybe not asking him, right? But if it's something, because that's also, you know, give you a little behind the scenes, it was also a spotlight game for us as the local RSN. So in spotlight games, you know, beforehand, you get the information of who's going to do what, who's ready to do what. Now, if something changes, fine. But this is the other thing, wearing the black hat, you got to know, especially in this day and age, everybody looking, everybody watching. You feel me? So
That's true.
I've had instances with female coworkers where the first thing I think to myself is like, all right, in this discussion, I have to be the one who makes sure that this stays balanced. Right, I have to be the one to make sure that I get my point across without emotion so that it won't be deemed or thought of or misconstrued any other way than how I am giving it. I know he just got off the court 2 hours and 15 minutes of competition versus a team who you have put on your wish list, hypothetically, you know? But what you got to do is you just got to walk off, right? Or you just got to whisper, hey, this ain't happening. Because we know dudes who do it. We know dudes who just give a look. And then to get into the locker room, like the Q&As have become a little bit more terse.
Yes.
His conversations with people like Darnell Mayberry and the likes have become a little bit more businesslike as opposed to the camaraderie that he once shared. It's starting to get pressurized, and we're still 3 weeks out. So for me, it's a situation where everybody can learn from, but in the end, this dude's going to be out of here. Like, you're not going to keep him around after this 3 weeks. You hope that everyone stays professional. You know Rich Paul and Clutch Sports are doing what they can do and for what they have to do, frankly, for their client. And this is the other thing, too. Neither party has provided the results to the other entity that would make you keep this thing together, right? Like Zach LaVine has become an all-star, and his star has risen, right? He's been on Team USA. He's in these national ads now. And if you were Zach and you wanted to look around and say, hey, this ain't cutting it, I ain't mad at you. If you're the Bulls and you want to look around and say, hey, man, the last 6-7 years, it's a whole bunch of DNQs. We all know what DNPs are, you know, did not play. There's a whole bunch of did not qualifies for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. There's a whole bunch of you won one game in the first round. You're in playing situations where you shouldn't be, and the expectations are where they are, especially with this talent-laden team. You got three guys who can get 25 any night that are having trouble scoring.
And it just hasn't worked. And it hasn't worked. And
yes.
You have a negative net rating when those three guys are on the floor together. And I'm not the biggest stats nerd, but I do know that that means a lot. I think for both sides, especially if the Bulls have true championship expectations, and Bulls fans get mad when I said this. I said the only difference between the Bulls and the New York Knicks is Michael Jordan.
That's a big difference. That's a big difference.
Don't get me wrong.
I understand.
It's a difference between dating Kelly Rowland and not dating Kelly Rowland. You know what I mean?
It's a
difference between dating Nicole Beharie and not dating Nicole Beharie. Yeah, look that one up.
Look at you. Yeah.
Here's the other thing I was going to say. We think of LA, Philly, Miami as destinations. The Sacramento Kings, a team that we didn't discuss here, but they want to run down, just couldn't get to them. De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis, Kevin Huerter. Mm-hmm. Like, you can keep Sabonis and Fox and still put together a decent enough trade package to get Zach LaVine. And remember, they signed Zach LaVine to that offer sheet when Zach was a restricted free agent.
Yep.
They wanted him, and the Bulls, of course, matched it, and then he wound up signing a $200 million deal. So it's a lot. It's a lot happening there. And, of course, y'all know Jason Goff is the homie, so he's going to be back to discuss so much more.
I'll leave you with this.
Go ahead.
You don't buy a $34 million house last summer to only spend 3.5 months in it. Zach's crib is beautiful. He's got a new crib in LA. You don't buy that to not be there. You don't buy that with a new family and, you know, your lovely wife and all the things that, you know, you don't buy that and say, all right, I'll be there in the summer months. Okay. So just be aware. I'm not mad at the Sacramento thing. Whatever Bulls fans going to get back, they're going to be upset about. You're not getting equal value back, especially when you don't have the leverage and that situation has passed now.
And the Bulls will be rebuilding again.
Gotta be watching the draft now.
Much to the, you got to be watching college basketball now. Watching Overtime Elite.
God.
Get you know, the Adam Silver meme. Get ready to learn, you know what? No, yeah. just get ready to learn Overtime Elite. That's man. Ladies and gentlemen.
I hate it.
Is Jason Goff. Catch him with Will Perdue and Kendall Gill on NBC Sports, the pre and post game for the Bulls. I miss those guys. Don't forget to also subscribe to the full go of Jason Goff on Spotify, where he's on Sunday. Was it Sunday, Tuesday?
Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, unless we got an emergency podcast like Shohei Ohtani getting signed or something like that. You know. Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Come on.
It's good
come
to
on,
see you, bro. It's good to see you.
It is great to see you. Tell Pia I said hello.
Yeah. Hey, Pia.
All that good stuff. See you.
Vinny said, what's up? He said, hey. There it is. There we go.
Like I said, Jason's going to come back for the Love Doctor episode of Good
down.
Word.
Kidding me? I'm here. I got a smoking jacket. You know what I'm saying? I got everything you need. I'm going to get one of them little Amish fireplaces, put it in the back. We're going to kick it, man. I'm down. Tell John I need his input as well. You know, I can't have John being on here with his wit and his candor without, you know, understanding what he's going through love-wise as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. We're going to get everybody. This is going to be an equal opportunity Love Doctor episode of The Good Word. Don't you worry. Producer John is, of course, behind the glass. Don't forget Evan and Ron putting together those videos that you guys see. Dan Devine will be back tomorrow for another episode of Divine Intervention. No solo episode of The Good Word on Wednesday because y'all know Thanksgiving is on Thursday. So with that, everybody be safe. Get full. Get your cranberry sauce out of the can and don't do that homemade stuff because the can is the best. Until then, happy Thanksgiving and everybody be safe.